one thing that was really cool, though, is sitting there in a chat with, you know, couple heavy hitters. You know, Rick's one of them, and then Jamie's another one, and they're on multiple shows and stuff, mm-hmm. and we're just kind of chatting. And they're like, oh, I use this program for editing and this microphone. And it's all, I mean, it's like stuff I'm familiar with and stuff that if I wanted to, I could go out and buy. But then I was like, you know, when I first started the show, I didn't know if I was going to make it to one or two episodes or whatever. And so I didn't want to go heavy deep into equipment.
Right.
I just wanted something to get the job done, and then I would figure it out later. I was like, and now that we're coming up on a year, we've got, you know, 50 straight up episodes and no sign of stopping, I might invest in some gear.
Well, both we got a good mic and everything now. We hook up to a laptop if we need to.
We do, but both of them were like, dude, your show sounds really good. Why would you change it? Don't change it. And I was like, well, you know, like, not dogging on my stuff, but, you know, like, if you look at our rig, guys, it's it's not
fancy.
It's not fancy. But at the same time, I've seen guys with suitcase full of gear, and you're like, dude, that's awesome. You know, like, how long have you been doing your show? And they're like, we're on episode 3. And I'm like, dude, you're a grand deep into equipment, and then you subscribe to their show, and then it never refreshes after episode 3.
Right.
I don't know if that's an eBay deal or what they're waiting for, but if you want to do a podcast, you can pretty much do one off your phone. You just set up an account with Spreaker and dial in and just hit record. So you don't need a massive amount of, and then you think of some of your favorite bands, you know, people, not to say that the production value isn't there, but if you take some like modern bands, like modern record producers, and you throw them back in the 60s and throw them into like a Jimi Hendrix control room and show them just they've got some buttons and knobs.
And you're positioning people in the studio away from a microphone.
They've got to be creative. They don't have studio magic yet. It's not been invented. The content is, the writing of the song is better than what the song sounds like. Because it's not so much anymore with YouTube and stuff, but there used to be a cult of bootleg collectors. And it was almost like the bootleg collectors wanted the shittiest sounding cassette they could possibly find because
it's authentic bootleg.
Because, yeah, it was an authentic bootleg and there wasn't that many copies of it because nobody, you know. If you got something to talk about, hit record, record it, upload it, share it, and then just keep going. I don't know how or why. I've always liked the way our show sounds.
Yeah.
I've always been a little bit embarrassed by what our rig looks like. That's why we hid it in the Beastmaster VHS last time.
We're about to make a coffin case for it next time. Just so, you know, I got some wood put aside.
I would prefer this thing to look a little more epic than it does, but it captures us and who we are. And
it does the job.
It does what we need it to do. So I'm happy with the show. Are you ready to get into episode 51?
Let's do it to it.
Episode 51 lands on October 2nd.
The start of the season.
I don't know about you, the start of the season happened for me around like July 4th.
I was in Halloween stores this past weekend, man, digging through some stuff.
Yeah, right around July 4th is when I'm allowed, like, obviously I do a horror movie podcast, but I'm allowed to start talking about decorating.
What we're going to do, right.
I'm like, baby, I think I'm going to make a Frankenstein. She's like, it's only June. Yeah. You can plan it. You can make it. You can buy all the stuff. Just don't talk about it yet. It's only June. I was like, ah. Of course, with the Halloween show this year, she's like, what are you making? She's a little more interested. But normally. So I just ordered all the stuff I need to build it. On Haunter's Retreat, Trace Evans.
Yeah.
He offered me a Wolfman.
Oh, cool.
You've got Jason.
I got Jason. I got him standing up straight right now, facing the door, so whenever somebody walks in the house, they see Jason coming after him. He's ready to go.
So this is episode 51. It's our... It's kind of like... Well, even Halloween. Halloween is All Hallows Eve.
Yeah.
The event is November 1st, which is generally just a hangover day. But apparently it has some sort of importance in... But the 31st is what's important.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of the days between like August 1st and the October 31st are preparing for the 31st.
Yes.
November 1st is when you wake up and be like, either that was awesome or I should have done it bigger. We're at episode 51.
I know. We're moving, trucking right along, dude.
Well, we do a weekly show, so next week, episode 52, that's a year.
Yep.
That's a year. What have we accomplished? We need to do a retrospective for episode 52.
Well, one of the things we will have accomplished is in less than 2 weeks is our Haunted Halloween show.
That's it. This will, episode 52 will land before the Haunted Halloween show, so we can do a retrospective. And maybe we'll throw some music in there. But this one, this particular episode, is going to continue our cryptids series.
Yes, back to the cryptozoology.
And we've got like 2 hours and 45 minutes dedicated to the skunk ape.
The smelly, smelly skunk ape.
The swamp cabbage man, the stink ape, the Florida Bigfoot. Because, of course, if you're going to have a Bigfoot in Florida, he's got to up the game on regular Bigfoot.
There are many, many, many creatures roaming around, man. The Beast of Braywood, the Dover Demon, the Fook Monster, Honey Island Swamp Monster, Jersey Devil. We're going to cover a whole bunch of them today.
No, this is going to continue our cryptids episode. We talked about lake monsters. We talked about vampires. We haven't talked about werewolves yet, but we will. But we're going to talk...
North American land-based cryptids.
And Malaysian ones, too, because I pulled up Yetis.
Yeah, the other one. Nepalese. We're going to journey up to Nepal for a moment tonight.
We mentioned the Halloween show. Do you want to tell everybody the details on the Halloween show? Today is October 2nd.
Halloween show is in 12 days.
Yeah. What do we have left to do? What do we need?
We're still open for some more vendors if anybody wants to join us for the show. Not sure exactly how many tables we're going to have available.
We may be open for more vendors.
Right now, we want people to come out and have a damn good time.
Just come out. It's $10 at the door. At this point, I'm no longer advertising for vendors because, but just a couple more days.
Full up. Yep.
We're gonna be full up. And if you're interested, hit me up. Your $10. What is your $10 going to get you?
It gets you one, networking with a whole bunch of people that love the same thing you love, from the attendees to the vendors to the guests that we're gonna have there. We're gonna have a horror movie director. We're going to have horror writers. We're going to have people vending toys, horror toys. We're going to have people vending books and comic books. We're going to have people vending crafts. We're going to have people vending decorations. We'll have artists there that'll be selling some of their horror artwork as well as doing commissions on site if you want anything drawn. We're going to have a movie room where we're going to go old school. We're going to have some blue and red 3D glasses just like back in the day, man. It's going to be a good time.
You think we can find Jaws 3D?
I bet we can. We could figure
in
out...
In 3D?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure we can find Jaws 3. That's easy.
I bet we can. That would be another good one to show. Since we'll have the glasses there.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we're going to have glasses, might as well.
But we're definitely going to be showing Friday the 13th Part 3 in glorious 3D.
In glorious 3D. And for those of you who might just now, like you heard from a friend, or maybe something has popped up in your feed and you're like, what the hell is the scary dad? What is this? So we're two dudes from Houston. We do a podcast. We both love horror. I'm looking across the table from me is my co-host Scott, and he's wearing a Jaws shirt. So the whole time I'm doing this podcast, I'm looking at a
swimmer about to be eaten by Jaws.
A naked lady, completely oblivious to the fact that she's about to get ripped in half by a giant shark. And if he's looking at me, he's seeing like the drip beer on my shirt that doesn't have any monsters on it.
But I know what's behind those glasses.
he knows what's behind the glasses. But we got together almost a year ago, and we decided that we needed to chat about horror.
Because we pretty much taped the episode the first night we met.
That's it.
And we're dads.
We're both dads. We both have little girls. He's got a little girl. I've got two of them. He's got a son, too, but that son probably doesn't say, like, Daddy, is Purple Haze a scary movie? I'm like, no, it's a song. What are you talking about? She's like, I heard it on your show. You mentioned Purple Haze. Like, oh, I need to watch the language a lot closer now. But yeah, we talk about scary things. We talk about
pop culture, comics, toys,
and
things that we enjoy.
Sitting across from each other with a few beers and a microphone just wasn't cutting the mustard, so we rented a space and we invited everybody else to come sell your spooky stuff, make your spooky stuff, draw your art.
Houston was missing a horror show. We decided to bring it to Houston.
That's it. We've got a large event scheduled for the 14th of October, so you're 12 days away. Go to the website, nightmareretreat.com. Go to the Facebook group, Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween Show. Go to the Facebook page, Scary Dad, and just dig into that. You'll find everything you need to know. $10 at the door. All of the stuff that Scott said. Plus, we have costume contests. We have giveaways.
We've got giveaways. Sponsors. Yeah, we got tons of stuff.
We've got sponsors that we never thought we'd get as a first outing. We've got the Texas Renaissance Festival is giving away tickets to their show at our show. We've got Virus Vodka is going to be there with the Virus Vixens. They're going to be giving samples of their vodka away.
Great, great vodka.
And they're going to be looking awesome and being friendly with
everybody.
They're
going to be having swag to give away, t-shirts, hats, artwork, all kinds of cool stuff.
The Kingwood Asylum. Let me give a big, big shout out to Daryl Vincent Rivers. He's probably off killing somebody right now, but when he's done and gets a chance to listen to the show, thank you so much for your support on this.
And last but not least, Alamo Draft House.
The Alamo
Robert
Draft House.
Robert over at Alamo Draft House has done a lot for us. We've recorded there. He's going to be giving away some movie tickets, posters, shirts, swag.
This is going to be a blast, guys. You have for your $10, you have a free ticket. You can buy tickets for like $2 a piece for the drawings. And the price packages are nothing to slouch out.
No.
I mean, winning one of these prize packs is going to be badass. Just writing down some of the stuff that's in these prize packs, I'm like, crap. We need more hours. We need a second day because we're giving away too much stuff in each prize pack. Scott and I will be walking around. We'll be making announcements. We'll be introducing everybody to everybody. This is going to be it's a convention. It's a show. It's a party.
Party of like-minded people that love horror.
So come out, get your tickets. Bride of Scary Dad will be taking the tickets. She's not quite sure what kind of hat she'll be wearing, but she will be wearing something scary. And we're ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
So let's get into episode 51.
Cryptids. Let's start off with some old business. I'm sure you got a little list there.
I got a little bit. This date, October 2nd in 1187... Saladin conquers Jerusalem after 88 years of Crusader rule. So it just passes one hand to the other.
Right.
Back and forth.
That's the way it happened back then.
1835, the Texas Revolution begins with the Battle of Gonzales. You familiar with the Battle of Gonzales?
I am not.
You're from Louisiana, man.
I know.
Y'all. They'll probably have Louisiana history whenever you should
yes,
have been having
exactly.
Texas history.
We went through Louisiana history. Louisiana, we were more like just a bunch of Cooter Browns sitting there getting drunk while everybody else was fighting.
So, for those of you guys who are unfamiliar with Texas history, Texas sort of passed hands a lot, but it was mostly under Spanish rule. Then whenever Mexico gained independence from Spain, Mexico controlled Texas. Well, history has been, for lack of a better word, whitewashed, because I'm only learning the story, like, I only learned the story of, like, the colonists and kind of what their stuff was. But the, basically, what happened was that the Mexican government had a problem with the Comanche and the Apache Indians in Texas. And so, the Comanches and the Apaches kept attacking their settlers. So what they thought would be a really good idea was they'd grant land grants to white colonists from the United States and give them area and basically create a buffer zone of colonists.
Attack them first.
So they would attack them instead of their own people. Well, if you accepted the land grant from the Mexican government, then you basically gave up your citizenship to the United States and you had to convert to Catholicism and become a Mexican citizen to take the land grant. Stephen F. Austin was one of those guys. He was an entrepreneur, so he's like, sure, that's no problem. And he just started pulling people in. Well, further on down the road, the government of Mexico had a, it was called the Napoleon of the West, megalomaniac president, El Presidente Santa Anna, who decided that having all of these white people basically occupying his northern territories was not a good thing. He was afraid that if there was ever an uprising, like a revolution,
they'd swiftly take over.
And he decided that was not cool. So he passed an order that said that all of the white settlers in the north had to give up their weapons. They had to give up their guns. Now, remember, the reason that they were brought in there to begin with was to defend against the Indians. So they all had guns, and they were all like, hell no, I'm not giving you my guns. Well, whenever... So some of them had cannons, and some of them had some other armaments or whatever. When Santa Anna decided to move on Texas, one of the first places he went was Gonzales. It's a little small town somewhere between here and San Antonio. It's not a big place. It's pretty much lost to history, except for if you've ever seen the Come and Take It flag. Mexico sent a letter to somebody, and that somebody gathered a garrison of troops, and they went to Gonzales and they said, hey, you need to give us that cannon back. And they fired the cannon back at them and said, come and take it. And so the garrison turned around and left, and that's when Santa Anna mobilized his army and marched north. So then you had the Battle of Goliad, the Battle of the Alamo, and then finally the Battle of San Jacinto, in which Santa Anna was defeated, and Sam Houston became the big, and Davy Crockett and all those guys became Texas history lore. And they pushed Santa Anna back and basically told him that this side of the Rio Grande is ours. Don't come over here.
It worked.
And it did. Well, not really. It did for a while.
Right.
At some point, the U.S. Army actually occupied Mexico City and put a whole bunch of guns to their head and made them sign a thing saying, like, this is ours. We're not gonna come after it anymore. Otherwise, we were gonna take over Mexico.
Yeah.
It's like it's back to Jerusalem. Like it passes hands back and forth, back and forth. But yeah, that's the short version of that. It's. Hopefully I didn't get into any politics in that. That's just kind of what happened.
Yeah, that's the facts.
That's just
facts laid out.
All right. Okay, so remember last week we talked about in 1906 the birth of the remote control?
Yes.
Well, on this date, in 1925, so 19 years later, John Logie Baird performs the first test of the working television. So there was actually remote control before there was TV. You ever heard or seen the was it the Dan Brown, Tom Hanks, the not the Lost Symbol, the, you know, the book where it was like the Catholic Church was all mad?
Yeah. Yeah. God, what is it? Da Vinci Code?
Da Vinci Code.
Yes.
And the bad guy was the guy from Opus Dei.
Yeah.
On this date in 1828, Opus Dei is founded.
Okay.
So. All right. So, other than the Revolutionary War, which was a bunch, we're getting into the body count now. 1942, the RMS Queen Mary accidentally rams and sinks her own escort ship, killing 239 wow. people. 1950, Peanuts by Charles M. Schulz is first published.
You ever tried to watch a Peanuts movie now?
It sucks.
It sucks. It was the bomb when I was a kid. I mean, when it went to France, I thought that was one of the coolest movies ever when I was a kid. It is hard to sit through now.
Was that... Oh, when they were in the Chateau.
The Chateau, yes. Yes.
The one where you had to, like, over Christmas vacation, read War and Peace. Like, dude, you're like six. Like, how did that work?
Those movies are horrible now, man. They just drag on and on.
Great Pumpkin's still good.
That's still good. What are the TV? The short TV movies, but the long movies that they had? I cannot. Yeah. I wouldn't make my children sit through that crap now, man.
It's... 1959, Twilight Zone first airs. On nice. This date, 1959. In 2002, back to body count. Remember the Beltway Sniper?
Yeah. Yeah.
They started their attacks. Snipers. Okay, notable births. Happy birthday. Most of these guys are dead. 1869, Mahatma Gandhi. 1890, Groucho Marx. 1897, Bud Abbott of Abbott and Costello. 1909, Alex Raymond, creator of Flash Gordon. Hail Ming.
Hail Ming.
And 1945, Don McLean. As American Pie. That yes. was it. Yes. Notable deaths. 1985, Rock Hudson. Heartthrob.
That was
throb.
A big one. Yep.
Died of AIDS.
Died of AIDS, yep.
In 1985, at the height of the scare. Come to find out...
He was the first real big name to have...
Yeah, and then come to find out he was gay, so that added fuel to the fire of, like, right. If you're gay, you just... Whatever.
On to some new business.
New business.
Okay. We'll start off with a death since we were going through deaths just now, and... we recently lost Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yes.
Really great manager in the wrestling field and an even bigger announcer. You know, once he hung up his manager's title, and he hung up his manager's title because he hurt his neck during a bit one time in the ring, and he realized he didn't want to take any more bumps. So he went ahead down to the table and decided to go ahead and just do announcing. And he was an excellent announcer. He was hilarious. The stuff he'd come up with was just ridiculous.
Remind us who all he announced for. He was a bad guy, right? He was one of the bad guys.
Yeah, he was a bad manager. Yeah, he was a heel, as they say.
Well, no. Like, in remember you had Hulk Hogan. Like, remember the cartoon?
Yeah.
You had Hogan and Junkyard Dog and
yeah, the
Captain
good guys.
Lou.
Yeah, then you had the heels. Guys. You had the bad guys.
And
famous one that he turned heel as a manager was Andre the Giant.
Okay.
He represented Andre the Giant right before the huge match, Andre's last match, well, one of his last matches when he was just, he could barely walk at that point, but he wrestled Hulk Hogan in Pontiac Arena and for WrestleMania, and it was like just one of the biggest matches ever. They carted, he couldn't even walk all the way to the ring. They actually had a thing drive Andre the Giant all the way down, and that's when Hulk Hogan actually body slammed the Giant. Picked him up, body slammed him, and beat him right there in the middle of the ring. It was he died of complications from cancer. He saw him. He was at Comic Palooza 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, and he had jaw cancer back in 2000 something or other. I want to say it was 2008, I think I had heard this morning. And he had actually lost part of his jaw. So he was really rough to meet him at that point. You know, he'd been through a lot, but he was the brain, man. Some other folks that he represented as a manager were Rick Rude, Paul Orndorff, Mr. Perfect, King Kong Bundy, Ken Patera, Big John Studd, and the Brain Busters. Started commentating alongside with Gorilla Monsoon, and like I said, he found his niche as a commentator. One of the, he was the bad guy commentator, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
One time he couldn't stand the Hart Foundation, which is Bret the Hitman Hart, Owen Hart, and the rest of the Hart brothers. And he couldn't stand Bret the Hitman Hart, and that's Bret the Hitman Hart that got really screwed over by Vince McMahon. And he told the guy he was announcing with, he goes, "You know, Bret Hart's my second favorite of the Hart Foundation." And the guy goes, "Well, who's your favorite?" He goes, "The rest of them." he knew how to turn a joke real quick. Bobby the Brain, he'll be sorely missed by a lot of wrestling fans for sure.
These guys are just keep falling off. And when I heard that he died the other night, I was like, you know, just looking for some pictures. I wanted to throw something up on the site and be like, rest in peace. Mm-hmm. And does it? I mean, I'm sure it does, because it bothers me, and you are more into wrestling than I ever was. The WWF is not the World Wildlife Foundation.
Right. Well, they're not allowed to use the WWF symbol anymore.
Well,
they got to take it away from them.
Well, I know. They got to take it away from them, but they were there first.
Yes.
And they were bigger and better and much more popular than a bunch of pandas.
Right.
It's just sad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Okay, we're in October now. Here goes a little bit of funny news. Do you recall in 2016, apparently this was to a limited area, but Burger King came out with the Halloween Whopper.
The green one?
No, black. Short-lived stunt that they tried to pull, but the Halloween Whopper had a black bun, A1 steak sauce, and the rest signified blood, and the rest was just a regular Whopper. And apparently, the problem with it wasn't that it tasted bad. It turned everybody's poop green. There's videos on YouTube you can find of people eating the Halloween Whopper and then having reaction videos to their poop being green. didn't even make it through Halloween. It lasted for a couple of weeks, and they just shut it down and never looked back to the Halloween Whopper again. Okay. Have you ever heard of Universal's Halloween Horror Nights?
I have.
Halloween Horror Nights is now open, and they've got some badass stuff going on, man. They have mazes set up for different movies. Some of the mazes they have this year: American Horror Story Volume 2, they have Saw, The Games of Jigsaw, The Shining, Ash vs. Evil Dead, Bill and Ted's Excellent Halloween Adventures. They also have a strip dedicated to Trick or Treat with a little Sam running around. There's another experience based upon The Purge. They have one based upon Invasion, throwback to 1955, where aliens have crash-landed in a park and they are abducting humans for horrific experiments.
Nice.
They also have one for Chucky. Dead Waters, they've pretty much blown it out this year. The Fallen, Scarecrow, The Reaping, The Hive. That's a bucket list item for sure. It's something that we
that
need to try
awesome.
To make it out to, man. Oh, definitely. Another one. As you probably heard, Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be reprising her role for the upcoming Halloween
in the
movie.
New Halloween.
That's another big one that came out recently. And let's do one of my list. With Cult of Chucky coming out here pretty soon. Some things that a lot of people don't know about Chucky, just some little trivia and everything about the movies. Chucky's name, Charles Lee Ray, from the movies, is an amalgamation of three famous serial killer names. That's how they came up with it. It was Charles Manson, Lee Harvey Oswald, and James Earl Ray. That's how they came up with his name. As we've talked about before, Child's Play is based upon the true story of Robert the Doll, which mm-hmm. is a doll that's in Florida right now. You can.
He's a Florida man.
He's a Florida man now, yes. Okay. In the first draft of Child's Play, Chucky was intended as a manifestation of Andy's dark side. So the possession
kid.
Of a killer wasn't there. It was actually the kid that had a dark side that was killing people. Let's see. Oh, this is another cool one that I saw. In the fourth Chucky, Bride of Chucky. Okay, there's a scene in the opening where they're in this police locker room, and there's it's an evidence room, and that's where the doll is at that point. If you look real quick, there's some Easter eggs there. What they try to do is kind of give a shout out,
bring all the universes together,
the horror universes together in that locker room. There's one of the puppets from Puppet Master, there's Michael Myers' mask, there's Jason's hockey mask, and there's Freddy's glove, all in the evidence locker in one quick shot.
Nice.
As you can see. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Do you remember that sleepaway camp or whatever?
Yeah.
Where it was like the girl with the backpack on with the open, like it was kind of hanging open, and it had a machete, a Jason mask, yes, and a Freddy glove.
Yeah,
and
I do remember that. Britney Spears apparently hates Chucky, because in Seed of Chucky, Chucky kills a Spears lookalike, and apparently she got offended by that and didn't appreciate her likeness being used in the movie. This is one of my favorite ones from this list, and I'll close out with this one. Originally, the role of Charles Lee Ray in the voice of Chucky, okay, ended up being Brad Dourif, okay? It was the man considered for that part was John Lithgow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that would have been a totally different thing, man. It would have been pretty cool, though, because you know I love Lithgow.
Yeah.
He would have been cool in that role, so. That's what I got for new business.
I love John Lithgow.
Oh, he's awesome,
but
dude.
I also think he might have a stack of bodies in his basement.
When he did that movie with, what's his name? God, we were talking about Book of Eli a little while ago.
Denzel
Washington. He did the movie where he was the serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
He was creepy as hell in that role, dude.
He was that way in so many movies.
Yeah. Like, he was an excellent actor.
Like, he was in Harry and the Hendersons. He's like either lovable dad,
yeah,
or a complete psycho killer. And sometimes both, because he was that way in Dexter.
Yeah.
He was like complete lovable dad and psycho killer. Just speaking of Harry and the Hendersons.
Hey, what a segue.
Dude, we don't ever plan on them. Sometimes they just happen. I just looked down at my page and was like, wow. So this is part of our cryptid series. It's not
Acorns.
Okay, so if you're hearing noises in the background,
it's raining acorns.
You've ever seen the scene in Wizard of Oz where the trees start throwing the apples? So I've got acorns. I've got an oak tree, and it's dropping acorns.
And it's not directly above us.
But see, the thing is, if you think about an oak tree and you think of a canopy and you think of a bunch of acorns, you think that if an acorn disconnects itself from the tree, that it would fall directly down to the ground below it. Strangely enough, these things fly like the trees hurling
projectiles, yes.
Like projectiles. And they fling out, like me and my wife are standing on the driveway talking, one hit her in the head. It's like, dunk. And we're over on the driveway. There's nowhere near the tree. Like, how the hell did the acorn fly this way? It's either squirrels or the tree's haunted, but that's all that noise. Anyway, back to the cryptids. It's not really an official series. It's just stuff we like to talk about. We've covered vampires. We've talked about lake monsters.
Which is a cool.
Just all of that stuff that is... like, it's a Time Life book, Mysteries of the Unknown. Like, there's people out there who truly believe it. If you give them a lie detector, they would say that they've seen it.
Yes.
And then there's scientists that say, nah.
Is it possible?
And then there's us, who came up reading, checking out books in the library about Mysteries of the Unknown.
Yeah, and just seeing all these photographs and everything, and, you know, it's got to be real. I saw the picture of it.
That's it. So, you want to take the lead?
Yeah. So we'll start off small and then go big. Let's start off with, first up on the list, the Fook Monster. Which the Fook Monster apparently...
Is that Scottish?
No, it's Arkansas in it. So apparently during the heyday of Sasquatch and Bigfoot sightings going on, the people in the South decided that they wanted their own too, so they came up with the Fook Monster. First sighted in 1946 in the southern United States. Most famous sightings are from the town of Fook in Miller County, Arkansas, and that's where the name originated from. Local legends of an ape-like creature date back to 46, when it was called the Jonesville Monster, based on the town in which it was initially sighted. Sighted again in the mid-1960s, the creature didn't make local headlines until 1971, when it was said to have attacked the home of Bobby and Elizabeth Ford. That incident inspired a 1973 film called The Legend of Boggy Creek, which in turn inspired additional sightings up through the late 1990s. The Southern Sasquatch is described as a giant human-like ape creature with long arms, long dark hair, three toes on each foot, and bright red eyes the size of silver dollars. That would be definitely be creepy to see walking up through the woods. Said to walk with a shuffling gait and run in a hunched or slouched position while swinging its arms, just like a primate. Original reports from the 70s described the creature as 7 feet tall, up to 300 pounds, and a chest about 3 feet wide. Creature's alleged footprints are said to measure 17 inches long and 7 inches wide. So, is there an ape-like creature roaming the bogs and creeks in Arkansas? Who knows? Physical evidence, tracks and claw marks don't add up to much. Local scientists claim it's 99% possible that the creature's alleged footprints are fake. If a giant undiscovered ape-like creature in fact roamed North America, most likely it would be a descendant of Gigantopithecus, which is something that we'll talk about a few times here in relation to some of these cryptids we're going to talk about. The Gigantopithecus is a 9-foot ape that lived in China as recently as 300,000 years ago. The theory is that it could have survived longer than the fossil record indicates, crossed the Bering Land Bridge with humans during the last ice age, and ended up in the United States. So that's a picture of the Fook monster. Huge red eyes, 7 foot tall, 3 foot chest. Run.
Yeah.
So that's the first one we're going to talk about. And the thing about it is there's so many cryptids that fall into that definition or that the description of the Sasquatch.
Well, see, and this is one of those things we talked about in the Lake Monster problem, you know, the episode. The problem, again, scientists discount the existence of Bigfoot and consider it to be a combination of folklore, misidentification, and hoax rather than a living animal. They note the lack of physical evidence after centuries of investigation, despite the fact that numerous creatures would have to exist in order to maintain a breeding population. A small group of investigators are sustaining their interest by occasional new reports of sightings. Such reports are attributed to persons seeing various animals, particularly black bears. Well, and that's dandy. Like, I get it. I think that before we go into further cryptids or further Bigfoots or whatever, I know that occasionally in certain conversations we have, I come off as critical of science. And I'm critical of science as there's light bulbs shining light down on me, and there's a microphone recording my voice, and there's paper and printed and, you know, all of this stuff. I'm not critical of science as a practice. I'm not critical of the scientific method. I'm not critical of that. I am critical of scientists that don't have a vested interest in the results. Mm-hmm. So, and what that means, and that can sound quite cynical, but the money in Bigfoot is in finding Bigfoot. If you can find Bigfoot, you get some money once. You're talking a few million dollars, maybe.
Right.
After that, it just goes into the record.
Yeah.
And you get a credit in a.
And everybody else that writes books about your finding.
Right.
They get the money.
But when they say, like, oh, well, there's a lack of evidence. Well, lack of evidence is fine. We're finding skeletons, fossils, and stuff in the dirt. And we can test it, and we can say, well, it's this old or it's that old. But like I've said before, and I'm not a scientist, so I'm not exactly sure how this works, but I've read enough accounts of this sort of thing where it's like they set the record. They say, okay, the human record is from this time to this time. It's X millions of years, or X hundreds of thousands of years, or tens of thousands, or whatever. And then they find a tooth, and they're like, well, this changes everything. Like, that sets all of our estimations off by like 20,000 years. And as you're reading an article and you're like, well, you know, that's insane. And then you're like, wait a second, 20,000 years is a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of time. There's numerous species that go extinct all the time in our current world. Like, they just go extinct because their habitat has changed, or they just failed to breed, or like dodo birds got hunted to the extinction, or mammoths or whatever. There's so many things that if you were to be able to rewind them by 20,000 years, assuming they were extinct before but now they weren't, changes everything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what if there was a creature out there that's as smart as us, but our ancestors, or even us, we hunted it down? It's like they've pretty much proven that we killed off the Neanderthals. They didn't just die out because they were dumb. They had rituals, they had fire, they had drawings. They were basically bigger, stronger, meaner versions of us, but we were smaller and faster and invented arrows. Thoop.
Right.
And we hunted those things to extinction. But what if there was some small tribe of them that escaped into the mountains?
Right. And just like, you know,
if they bury their dead, and they know well enough not to leave traces.
Right.
Like, cover your tracks, son. Not covering your tracks is bad news. So, I mean, that's where I get. It's not a matter of, like, discounting science. It's like, no, use science. But if you're not using a satellite to look for Bigfoot all the time,
you never know what you might miss.
You don't know what you're missing.
Just like, as I said before, let's say that, you know, these creatures are descended of Gigantopithecus. If they were smart enough to hide out for this long, you're never going to find them.
Right.
You know, just, they apparently haven't seen Harry and the Hendersons, because all of them were hiding right there in plain sight. We never saw them until they started moving.
Exactly.
You know, it's, to me, it's possible. Don't discount it. You know, it's...
Well, even if it doesn't exist now, they're still finding dinosaur tracks. The only thing that... Again, we've talked about it before. There's a lot of people, I guess, like New Age creator, not New Age, like New Earth people, who think that people and dinosaurs lived at the same time, because you can find people tracks inside of dinosaur tracks, right? There's legends of dragons. I'm pretty sure the Legends of Dragons came from ancient peoples finding skeletons of dinosaurs and being like, okay,
this is big.
Well, it's big, and it's obviously huge, and it's obviously not nice. And as far as I'm concerned, I haven't seen one personally, but I'm not going to go look in that cave right about now. You know? Like, at best case scenario, there's a bear in there. Worst case scenario, there's a big ass Tyrannosaurus in there. I'm gonna go just step backwards slowly into the other direction.
Right.
And I'm gonna tell my family about, holy crap, there's big old giant thunder lizards that live in that cave. Don't go over there. Well, those legends, like the skeleton's 100 million years old, but the legends are valid.
Right.
There's something to be afraid of. So there's so much out there that can't be explained. You know, maybe one of these days they'll use a little categorization thing, like the little robot in WALL-E that'll fly around, and there'll be a Bigfoot that's sitting there pooping in the woods, and the like little white robot will be like, be like, uncategorized, and then like fly away, and Bigfoot will be like, damn it. Until then, we can't really say, right?
Right. Right. Well, moving on, not to be outdone by Arkansas, Louisiana, back in 1974, the year after The Legend of Boggy Creek came out, detailing the monster in Arkansas, they came up with the Honey Island Swamp Monster in Louisiana in 1974. Described as standing over 7 feet tall and weighing between 400 and 500 pounds, Said to be covered in a thick coat of matted gray or brown fur. It has yellow eyes instead of the red eyes of the Fook monster from Arkansas. And the smell it emits has been called the stench of death.
Dude came back. He was a Scottish settler. He's like, it's a fucking monster. And they're like, oh.
Oh, you must be talking about Fook down the road in the next county over. This primitive creature has long been blamed for the deaths of livestock and the mysterious disappearances of children in adjacent areas. The first alleged evidence was reported in 1974 by two Louisiana hunters named Harlan Ford and Ray Mills. Two men claimed to have found a four-toed footprint left by the beast next to the carcass of a wild boar. After discovering the footprint, they ran and grabbed the video camera and came back with the video camera to see what they could find. He captured grainy footage of a shadowy figure that appears to be a hairy beast walking upright, weaving quickly in and out of the trees in a dense swamp. But that is the only sighting that we've ever had of the Honey Island Swamp Monster in Louisiana. So since he stinks, we can move over to the next smelly beast that we have on our list, which would be the skunk ape.
All right.
Not to be outdone by Arkansas and Louisiana. Down in Florida, they decided to go ahead and find one of their own monsters out that way.
All these skunk apes are wet right now.
Sightings for the skunk ape have occurred between the 1960s and 1970s. It's said to inhabit the southern United States anywhere from North Carolina to Arkansas, and reports from Florida are the most common. It's named for its appearance and for the unpleasant odor it's said to accompany it. It stinks. You want to jump in on that one?
Yeah, in 2002, photographs said to be of the skunk ape were taken by an anonymous woman and mailed to the sheriff's department. So that's exactly how you're going to prove your theory, is mail an anonymous photo to the sheriff's department and be like, this is a skunk
ape. I don't want you to know who I am, but I took a picture of the skunk ape.
The photographs were accompanied by a letter from the woman in which she claimed to have photographed an ape in her backyard. The woman wrote that on three different nights, the ape had entered her backyard to take apples left on her back porch. She was convinced the ape was an escaped orangutan. The pictures have been known to Bigfoot enthusiasts as the skunk ape photos. Lauren Coleman is the primary researcher on the photographs, helping track down the two photographs to an Eckerd photo lab at the intersection of Fruitville and Tuttle Roads.
Eckerd Drugs, man. You remember Eckerd Drugs?
In Sarasota. According to Chester Moore Jr., the photographs were taken in Sarasota County near the Myakka River.
There's the picture there.
Again, I need gravitas. I need proof. Let me drop off my photographs at the photo mat first and then mail them. Can you make a double on that?
double print. Matt, please. Okay, let's move away from...
You know, like, apes. After talking about it, somewhere out there, there's some ghost of some wayward hunter that got totally eaten by the skunk ape. It's like, I could have had a better death than this.
All right, comic book fans will be familiar with this next one. The Wendigo. Wendigo.
Dude, watch your language.
It's an eye.
It's not a mandingo.
It's a Wendigo.
It's a Wendigo.
Wendigo.
Google the other thing.
I've seen the movie. Saw the movie back in the day. Okay, so the Wendigo.
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 Wendigo is kind of a cross between a traditional, like, Sasquatch sort of thing and one of the... It's a curse monster.
There's different versions of it. One of them is the Wendigo with W-E-N. The other one is Wendigo with W-I-N. That one, the I-N, is a cannibalistic spirit that possesses humans.
Right, and makes them kill people.
Correct. The other describes a lonely man-beast who lives in the forest waiting to feast on human flesh.
there's all kind of different artist interpretations of it. One of them has him having the head of a rabid elk with a man's body. All the interpretations have him with horns. It's a cold climate creature that's been spotted in Canada and northern states like Minnesota. Some locals who've encountered the beast consider it a relative of Bigfoot, but reports describe the beast as more of a werewolf than a Sasquatch. Ethnohistorian Nathan Carlson says the Wendigo is often described as a creature with owl-like eyes, large claws, and emaciated bodies. Others describe it looking like a skeleton with ash-toned skin. This thing's been spotted. Most frequent cause of transformation into a Wendigo was if a person had resorted to cannibalism, consuming the body of another human in order to keep from starving to death during the time of extreme hardship or famine. One level of the myth thus worked as a deterrent and a warning against resorting to cannibalism. Those who did would become Wendigo monsters themselves. One of the most widely reported cases of the spirit possessing a human is that of Swift Runner, a Native American who murdered and ate his entire family in the winter of 1879. He claimed to be possessed by the spirit at the time of the murders and was hanged for his crime. Although his case is one of the most well-known. Historically, there are many reports in the early 20th century of the spirits possessing people in dozens of communities from northern Quebec to the Rockies. That's pretty. It's just, this is a scary one, dude.
Yeah, the Wendigo's no joke.
Yeah.
The Wendigo kind of falls more into the category of like a vampire. It's less cryptid than it, like whenever we did our vampires kind of versus zombies thing of whereas a zombie is more physical and a vampire is more spiritual.
Yeah.
Like a vampire is possessed by something, even if it's like a virus, it's a supernatural virus, whereas a zombie is more physical. It's been poisoned, it's been brought back. The Wendigo is all spirit.
Right.
And it's malevolent spirit. And if you hear the sound of the Wendigo, if you hear it, then somebody in your family is going to die.
Right. And that would be similar to Mothman.
And if you're possessed by the Wendigo, then you resort to cannibalism.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the people who have been possessed by the Wendigo were being faced with starvation. But, man, it takes a lot to kill your whole family.
Oh, yeah, and eat them.
Then walk into town and being like, yeah, I was possessed by the Wendigo. I ate my whole family. Like, what?
Yeah.
Didn't you have snowshoes or something? Couldn't you have gone somewhere else?
All right. Moving on. How about we talk about a lizard man?
Let's do it.
Lizard man of Scape or Swamp. Sighted in 1988. Lizard man is a reptilian cryptozoological creature said to inhabit swampland in and around Lee County, South Carolina. Human-like in form, the lizard man is said to have many reptilian or dinosaur-like qualities, including green scaly skin and three-toed feet and hands. According to witnesses, each of his digits has a circular pad that allows it to cling to trees and walls like a gecko.
Nice.
Sounds like a superhero, man. Standing at an intimidating 7 feet in height, lizard man is said to be extremely fast and incredibly powerful, capable of ripping open cars with his bare hands. It's a superhero. Most first-hand accounts of this creature also describe it having glowing red eyes, much like the Dover demon. Lizard man of Skateboard Swamp was first reported in June 29, 1988, by a 16-year-old named Christopher Davis, who claims he was chased by the creature after stopping to change a flat tire. Several reports followed during the summer of 88, many of them mentioning unusual scratches or bite marks on cars parked near the swamp. Local sheriff's department chalked the sightings up to a lone bear, but were later puzzled when biologists were unable to classify a plaster cast of a three-toed 14-inch footprint taken from the area. While the lizard man is a relatively recent cryptozoological phenomenon, in the Americas, tales of reptilian beings can be traced back several millennia in other areas of the world. So we got a lizard man running around South Carolina, scratching up cars. Maybe it's somebody with one of those chicken feet weapons that I used to see as a kid.
Yeah.
Just tearing people's cars up with it. So there's the lizard man. One more we can talk about real quick before we move on to our heavy hitters. Not many cryptids can claim that they have a professional sports team named after them. One can, and that would be the Jersey Devil.
Right.
Which is also the name of the hockey team, the New Jersey Devils, out that way. First seen in 17th century A.D. Jersey Devil, sometimes called the Leeds Devil, is a legendary creature or cryptid said to inhabit the Pine Barrens of southern New Jersey. It's often described as a flying biped with hooves, but there are many variations. Jersey Devil has worked its way into pop culture in the area. Most accounts of the Jersey Devil legend attribute the creature to a Mother Leeds, a supposed witch, although the tale has many variations. According to one version, she invoked the devil while giving birth to her 13th child, and when the child was born, it either immediately or soon afterwards transformed into a devil-like creature and flew off into the surrounding pines. According to the legend, while visiting the Hanover Mill Works to inspect its cannonballs being forged, Commodore Stephen Decatur sighted a flying creature flapping its wings and fired a cannonball directly upon it with no effect. Napoleon, the famous Napoleon's eldest brother, Joseph, is also said to have witnessed the Jersey Devil while hunting on his Bordertown, New Jersey estate in 1820. Throughout the 1800s, the Jersey Devil was blamed for livestock killings, strange tracks, reported sounds. In the early 1900s, a number of people in New Jersey and neighboring states claimed to have witnessed the Jersey Devil. Claims of a corpse matching the Jersey Devil's description arose in 1957, and in 1960, the merchants around Camden offered $10,000 for the capture of the Jersey Devil, even offering to build a private zoo to house the creature if it was captured. How are you going to house that creature, man? It's the Jersey Devil. Somebody hit it with a cannonball, no effect.
Well, it's one of those, like I said before, you know, it's like sometimes, of course, you know, horror podcast being what it is, you know, like what reanimates Jason?
Right.
You know, and the difference between a spiritual and a physical, you know, so many of our pop culture references, one of the things that I loved about Anne Rice is her ability to just really describe everything around her, like the color and the shape and the texture and the detail. But one thing I really hated about her was she always had this undertone of explaining supernatural phenomena with science. And to some, that might be interesting. To me, I don't like it. I've got enough science. Like, I don't want to know, like, why vampires are vampires. Vampires are cursed. Even if you were not a bad person before you became a vampire, you got to kill people to stay alive. Mm-hmm. You can be, you can donate a shitload of money to charity. You're still a killer, right?
Right.
And at some point, after killing people every single night for hundreds of years, whatever humanity you used to have, you're just a shark at this point. Like, you can still be intelligent. You can still have taste. You can still be. The Jersey Devil, again, is one of those more almost supernatural things. Like, there's no breeding population of the Jersey Devil.
Well, what's interesting is, the only, like, every so often it would pop up where there were just a ton of sightings, and then it would stop.
Right.
It was really odd. In 1909, during the week of January 16th through the 23rd, there were literally thousands of sightings of the Jersey Devil during that week. And they go through just each day during that week, where it was sighted, different places, things that it did, and then it would go away again and pop up again. It's just really, really odd. It's almost like Jeepers Creepers.
Maybe it's like a cicada, right?
Yeah.
It goes underground like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, the Jersey Devil's an interesting one. It's a pretty freaky-looking creature as well. By far.
Well, let's get into the bottom half or the bottom quarter, because we're at an hour right now, so we got a few minutes. We got a few minutes left to talk. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I definitely do.
I like I said, with so many other things, I can't not believe in it, because there's
it's part of my childhood growing up.
Well, there's
Bigfoot
just,
was always there.
There's so many unrelated sites, like
people that don't know each other that see the same thing.
See the same thing, describe the same thing. No. Pop culture at this point, Bigfoot's pretty ubiquitous, so you're like, oh, I see this thing, but so many of these sightings were before.
Before the internet, before all this other stuff. Right.
You got different people of different cultures, different religious and socioeconomic backgrounds all over the world describing the same thing. The same thing. And, man, you can imagine there's nothing worse than being like, this. I saw this thing and it chased me. And, you know,
we nobody fought, believes you.
I fought within an inch of my life, and everybody's like, no, you're just drunk. And
yeah.
Like, well, I drink a lot, but I wasn't drunk that day. I was just out in my backyard and this thing showed up. I was like, holy crap. But, you know, it's like we talked about, like, Louisiana, South Carolina, Florida. Bigfoot's all up in the Pacific Northwest, the North, Canada, the Wendigo, all of, like, and the number of sightings from so many different people, from so many different
walks of life.
And then you go across the world. You know, the Yeti. The Yeti is basically a snowbound Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Same thing, just over there. And I really do believe that there are certain things that just learned how to stay in the deep end.
Stay hidden, migrate to where they have to be, move around. It's very possible.
You know, and every now and then one of them probably gets seen.
Or a little too close to where they shouldn't be. That kind of thing. And
or more encroachment.
They go back to hiding.
But just same with alligators and snakes. Like,
that one got you.
Dude. That one was thrown.
The trees are attacking.
Jersey Devil.
Or Bigfoot. Stop right. Giving away our secrets.
Snakes. Alligators, like all of these things that just, you know, you don't expect to see them in your backyard, but we have alligators coming in people's doggy doors all the time.
Right.
You have crawfish showing up on your front porch. Door, yes. Being like, hey, you open the door to have a smoke, and the crawfish is like, I'll do you, I'll cut you, man. And you're like,
it's pick my him house up now.
Fling him. <and stuff. laughs> I can't not believe in it.
All right.
I can't, like, whatever mainstream science says, at some point, pretty much everything has been dismissed as mythology.
Now, do I believe there are some hoaxes? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's certainly hoaxes. But you look at what, like, orangutans, mountain gorillas, coelacanths, anacondas, mm-hmm. Giant squids, like all of these things that science is like, nope. Then all of a sudden they find one and they're right. Like, oh, well, you know, sure.
That's
I guess
related it, to such and such thing.
I guess it could be. I guess it could happen. You're like, well, it has to. Like, it's right there on the beach. Like, what? I think there's a hubris in humanity. I think that we've lost it. I think we've lost a lot of our awe with our technology.
Yeah.
Like I've said before, we count ourselves, we think we're so smart because we have Wikipedia and instant messaging. But think about something like this. You know, it's like we're talking about, you know, with the hurricane survival, disaster survival, famines and stuff. Okay, there are people, there are great famines among people who knew, not because it was a skill, not because they taught it in school, they could forage for mushrooms and wildcraft food and roots and stuff. They could find like wild potatoes. Mm-hmm. They knew how to do it. And that's how they used to season their meals. And then there was famines where tens of thousands of people died. Are they were smarter than us in that way.
Right.
If we had some natural disaster, people would just die.
Oh, the civilization would go to crap, man.
You know, we lose power for a couple hours. People just fall over dead. We think we're smart because we have tools. But take those tools away.
Joe Rogan did a great bit about that exact thing.
You know?
He's like, if I'll stick you in the middle of nowhere with a hatchet,
How long until you can make a phone call?
Yep. But we think we're so wise. We think we're so smart. We're like, no way some monkey man can just live in the woods and we wouldn't know about it because we've got infrared and Google Earth. Well, maybe whatever that is smart enough to be like, these white people are dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, they know that planes fly overhead, so yeah, they know to hide out and stay under canopies and stuff to where they're not seen.
Camouflage still works. So, I have to say, like, I can't say for a fact that it exists, but I certainly have to put it in a plausible because they're going to find something someday.
Yeah.
I swear to God, dude, they're going to find, like, the skeleton of a giant-ass snapping turtle. Maybe he's not, like, 40 feet long, but maybe they're going to find a snapping turtle that was, like, 10 feet shell.
Just been hanging out in deep water.
Just been hanging out in Loch Ness.
Waiting for fish to swim by.
And they're going to find this skeleton and be like, that explains everything.
Right.
You know? And then you go back and be like, well, the Loch Ness monster does not exist. Well, no, you can't ever, because people were seeing this monster. Now, to a scale, who knows? But they were seeing this thing.
For a very long time. You know, this isn't, you know, just happened one time where, you know, a couple people were claiming they saw something.
Right.
It's been seen for a long time by a lot of people.
So, we're gonna finish this episode by saying, myth not busted. If it's not real what they say they see, what they think they see, they saw.
It's something.
And it's out there. And I can't wait to get to the next episode. Dude, we've got a 1-year anniversary coming up in our next show that we've been talking about for the last couple episodes, like, but it's more like a holy crap. Did time really go by that fast?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here, look at this dude. I've got a couple more pages in the notebook that I started whenever we first started. Nightmare Retreat. It's got my password, podcast ideas. Let's look at the podcast ideas real quick. Let's wait for the next episode.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We'll go through that.
But that's...
let's see where we wanted to go and where we ended up going.
Let's do it. That's it for cryptids.
Cryptids is always fun, man. Always fun talking about all these legends and stuff that we grew up with.
That'll be it for tonight. I'm going to see if I can find a theme song for Harry and the Hendersons for this. Talk to you later, huh, guys?
Later.
You touch my life and turn my heart around. It seems when I found you, it was me I really found. You open my eyes, and now that's all I can see. A moment may be over, but you're still here with me. It's love and a song. So much I didn't understand, and then you brought me here, far from where we all began. The change you made in my life will never end. I look across the distance and know I